There's a link to it at Lindsay Digital, LINDSAY digital.com/blog.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Making money more affordable. The Federal Reserve cut short-term interest rates 0.25 today. It's now 4.5%. CBS's Anthony Mason says the Fed wants to keep the economic motor running for the pain that's still to come from the mortgage mess.
The housing slump has turned out to be deeper and longer than anybody thought at first. And there are many people who believe the risk of recession is still pretty strong. So the Fed has got to keep on watch here, and that's basically what they're saying. They've made two cuts now, a total of 0.75 points, which is a pretty significant move in the last month or so.
Wall Street's reaction, the Dow gained 137 points, NASDAQ up 42, the S&P up 18. Oil prices, $94.53 a barrel, and oil analyst Phil Flynn at Aileron Trading isn't betting against 100 buck a barrel, at least not yet.
If we have a very cold winter, it'll be difficult for refineries to get enough crude to meet strong winter demand.
The exclusive deals between cable TV companies and apartment buildings are ending.
From the Federal Communications Commission, a new rule banning cable TV providers from signing exclusive deals with apartment buildings. FCC Chairman Kevin Martin tells CBS News this should lead to a price war, lower rates for almost 30% of America's population.
I hope so. I look forward to seeing that kind of competition and seeing rates continue to decline for people to live in apartments.
Comcast is protesting this decision, threatening lawsuits. Verizon, a phone company now offering television, praises the new ruling. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
President Bush has nominated a new ag secretary. He comes from a farm state, the former governor of North Dakota.
If confirmed, Edward Schaefer will face some major challenges, starting with promoting a new farm bill. The administration has been fighting congressional efforts to maintain current farm programs, including billions of dollars in crop subsidies to farmers. Schaefer will also have to deal with food safety concerns and tough farm trade issues.
That's CBS's Peter Mayer at the White House. Tropical Storm Noel is kicking up some wind in South Florida. Surf's up. National Hurricane Center says Noel won't become a hurricane, may not provide much in the way of drought relief in the southeast either. A waste of a perfectly good low-pressure system. You got dentists preaching against Halloween candy, others buying it from kids to send to troops in Iraq, and Dr. John Ruby at the University of Alabama who says, relax, it's one night. Have a good time.
I don't think we should hold back on special occasions like Halloween, Christmas, Easter, or birthdays. Enjoy the good sweets that are out there.
Just brush your teeth afterward, he says. Muslim men are going sleepless in Malaysia. The leader of the Pan-Malaysian Islamic Party says something ought to be done about it. Growing numbers of women are walking around right out in front of everyone, visible. He calls it emotional abuse to men who are so affected by the sight of these women, they have a hard time going to sleep. This is CBS News.
Reason number 13 to switch to Geico. Everybody else is doing it. Now, we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to Geico for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
It's vitamin A.
Vitamins and minerals of Centrum. I've got a big announcement. We've been reformulated.
Yeah! Wait, so we're losing our jobs?
No, zinc. We're doing them better. With Centrum's Better Balance formula, we work together. Like more vitamin C and selenium teaming up for immunity.
Oh, looking forward to working with you, vitamin C.
Of course you are. I mean, likewise, selenium.
New formula Centrum. Working better together.
From A to zinc.
The mostly black refugees from Katrina's floods could find no refuge in the white suburbs across the river because police wouldn't let them walk there. and a grand jury of New Orleanians says it's okay.
Activists have pointed to the police blocking the bridge as an effort to keep poor black New Orleanians from leaving the city and going to the more affluent suburbs as New Orleans flooded. But the grand jury in New Orleans found no one broke any laws.
The Orleans Parish grand jury looked at the Crescent City Connection case and found a no true bill in this case.
Dalton Savoy in the DA's office says there are still civil cases pending in federal court. Police have defended their action, saying evacuees were better off at the convention center or Superdome where there were supplies rather than across the bridge where no shelters or supplies were available. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Another good reason to visit Charleston, South Carolina. One of the buildings where slaves were bought and sold has reopened as a museum to the history of slavery in the U.S. and the lessons to be learned from it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
This was a famous ship.
Ink.
No, it hit an iceberg.
Ink.
About 100 years ago, it sank.
Ink.
There's a movie and a song about it.
It's ink.
No! Stop guessing ink. Next one. This is a liquid people use to write or print with.
I got it. Toner.
Ugh!
You don't think about ink until it's all you can think about. Good thing Office Max has a huge selection of name brands. Save up to 15% when you buy one HP multipack compared to two single cartridges. Office Max. All the ink you need. All in one place.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Really?
Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I'm different from Archie Bell or Archie Drill. I can't hardly dance, but I can talk just as good as I walk. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show Power Pack today for your listening pleasure. And let me first give out the phone number because I think you're going to want to call today to talk to some of our guests. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 1-888-573-8372. A survivor of the 9/11 attacks at the World Trade Center kicks off our show in just a moment. William Willie Rodriguez, who worked there as a janitor and is now crusading to find the truth about the attacks of 9/11. Also this hour, as we continue that theme, Mickey Huff is an associate professor who teaches a course about 9/11 at a Bay Area college. He's going to join us in about half an hour, and we'll talk about some of the recent revelations regarding the 9/11 truth movement. In our second hour today, California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will join us. We're going to reflect on the response to the firestorms in Southern California last week. About 2,000 homes were lost, billions of dollars in damage, and we're going to find out what kind of response problems occurred and see if we can fix them for the future. We're also going to talk about developments in plug-in hybrid automobiles with Sherry Boschard, who wrote the book called Plug-in Hybrids. There's a new program at UC Davis we'll tell you about. Mike Farrell will join us today to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court decision and other moves that have essentially imposed a de facto moratorium on capital punishment in this country at this time. And it's something that I am happy to see. We're going to talk about the Democrats who gathered in Philadelphia last night as we open up the free speech zone today. And we'll also take calls on that 5.6 earthquake that came right at dinner time for me last night. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments welcome, as I told you, at 888-5-PETER-B. William Rodriguez worked for many years at the Port Authority in New York City at the World Trade Center Towers, and he had special keys to Tower Number 1 and showed up just a little bit later than usual for work on 9/11/01. Willie Rodriguez, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much for your time and for giving me the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Well, you're very welcome, and I want you to know that there are many people who are aware of you. Just a couple of examples. I have a listener named Dave in San Benito County, California. He saw you a month or so ago on C-SPAN, called me up and said, Peter, you got to get Willie Rodriguez. He's got a powerful story to tell. Wow. And we also heard from people in Humboldt County, where you'll be appearing this coming Sunday at the Fortuna River Lodge. People can get information on that at WTCFriends.org. Tomorrow, Thursday, Willie Rodriguez will be in Oakland in an event at the Grand Lake Theater. People know that location in Oakland. And so he is traveling to the West Coast to bring us more information about his story and what occurred on 9/11/01. So, Willie, let me give you a couple of minutes here. I'm not going to interrupt you. I would like you to tell us what you observed on September 11th, and in particular, the explosions, noises, and vibrations that caused you to question the official story of what happened on 9/11.
Well, on 9/11, I came into work late. I was supposed to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I made it at 8:30 in the morning. And I went straight to the sub-level 1 of the North Tower. There were 6 sub-levels in the building. They were called B1 office, B-level, B2 level, B3, all the way down to the B6 level, basement number 6. And so the support office for my company, American Building Maintenance, that was under subcontract for the Port Authority, was located on the basement number 1. While I was there talking to a supervisor named Anthony Saltalamacchia, we heard a huge explosion that pushed us upwards, and all the walls cracked, the false ceiling fell on top of us, the sprinkler system got activated, and the first thing that came into my mind was that a generator just blew out on the basement number 2, on the sub-level 2, where we had the mechanical room, where you have all the water pumps and the machinery for the elevators for the building. And so when I went to verbalize it, because everybody was screaming and my supervisor was holding on to me, we hear this huge impact all the way on the top of the building, 2 different events. You know, it sounded like a big rumble, and it shook the building for one side to the other, and the vibration was very powerful, and everybody was screaming. Now, we're talking about 2 different events separated by 6 to 7 seconds. I used to say it was like 2 seconds, and until the moment that I got a meeting with the families and, I mean, with the actual survivors that were in the basement with me, and they told me, no, it was like 7 seconds. So, of course, you know, when we put all the pieces together, we realized that, you know, these allegations were never investigated. As I went up, you know, before I went up, a person came running into the office saying, explosion, explosion. His hand extended, all the skin pulled from under his armpits, peeled off, and 33% of his body burnt, pieces missing on his face, his shirt soaked in blood. And in total shock, he looked like a zombie because his eyes were basically popping out on fear. And nobody wanted to touch him. And basically because this was 2001, and you remember the whole AIDS scare thing,
sure,
that nobody wanted to touch anybody with blood.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody wanted to help him. So I put a towel around him, I put it on my shoulder, and I started, you know, basically telling everybody that we got to get out. We heard another explosion, huge explosion. When I went to pick up the phone to call the emergency medical unit that was located on the other part of the other tower, in the south tower. And so that's when the floor was vibrating. And, you know, people thought somehow that it was an earthquake because they started going right under the door frames, thinking that it was an earthquake. They were piling up. So I started screaming, we got to get out, we got to get out. And I have to actually lead the way from there to the loading dock, from the loading dock outside the building, put the man on the wheelchair, on an ambulance that was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I hear the plane hit the building for the first time. When I look up, I saw the fire, I saw the hole, and it was so big, the smoke, it was so dense that it covered the top of the building.
So Willie, let me just ask you to clarify here. You've described a couple of different explosions that you experienced. How do you relate them to the hit by the airliner that was well above you as it impacted the building? Can you put those in order? When did you hear explosions? Did you hear some before the plane hit?
Before the plane hit.
Mm-hmm.
Before the plane hit, then after the plane hit, I heard several explosions after,
mm-hmm.
Then as I went up on the stairwell, when I went back inside the building and I went up, I led the firefighters floor by floor as I opened the doors. As you mentioned,
yeah, you had the special key.
I have one of the
key.
Few master keys. There were five master keys in the World Trade Center, and I have one of those. And I went floor by floor opening those doors.
Mm-hmm.
So as I went up with the firefighters, we heard different explosion on the third zone, which was from the 44th floor to the first floor. And that was way below from the area of the impact. So these are some of the things that were never investigated. These allegations were never searched. And when you do an investigation, a criminal investigation, you check every possible angle. They did not do that.
Mm-hmm. So I've read an account that at one point, as you led the firefighters upstairs, and of course they were carrying lots of gear, and I've climbed in skyscrapers a few times. It's very
it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it wears you out, and I wasn't carrying firefighting equipment, wearing the heavy clothing. But you describe, I believe, that you're on floor 33,
I heard something very strange on the 34th floor, heavy equipment being moved around.
And the 34th floor at that time was not open?
Was not open. It was an empty, hollowed-out floor by construction.
Uh-huh.
And to hear this kind of heavy equipment being moved around, it scared me because it scratched the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God, what is it? Actually, that was the first time I felt total fear. It was the only door I did not open in the whole process of rescue. It was like something was telling me, stay away, don't open this door.
Wow.
And I did not, and it was, it was scary. Actually, I was so scared, like, when I started putting everything together afterwards, it was like, what the heck was there? And I even talk about this, and that was never investigated. Records were not taken up on the investigation to check these allegations either. So, it kills you emotionally when they don't do this kind of outreach to find from other sources, what was going on. I made available to the 9/11 Commission 27 eyewitnesses that were there with me, and they didn't call a single one of them.
Yeah. Now, Willie Rodriguez, survivor of 9/11, a hero on that day, and in my book, you're a hero now for coming forward and talking about these issues. I'm sure that you know that one of the most effective tools that has helped us separate myth from reality in the 9/11 sequence of events is the various timelines that have been created. And when you look back at those timelines, and then you look at some of the real-time video footage, particularly of the collapse of the first tower, as it's coming down, preceding the debris field that's falling, roughly at the speed of gravity, we see horizontal projectiles. We see explosions that are producing, debris that is going sideways. It is not falling with gravity, but it is propelled from the building in a horizontal manner before it falls. Tell me what you think about that, how it ties in with your actual experiences that day.
It does tie it up. The incredible thing is that there's a lot of things that is not even on the timeline, because inside the building was an internal collapse that was not taken in consideration. And remember, I was there while the tower was collapsing. I was pulled from the rubble. So, it's like I have like an error on my testimony that I always talk about, is that, when I was on the 39th floor, we heard this huge explosion, and it was a plane hitting the other tower. That's what I thought, that it was the plane hitting the other tower. Not that it was, because I have no way to see. We have no windows.
Sure.
We're on the stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it doesn't agree with my timeline. So it could have been an explosion of the building just already coming down, because there were so many explosions in the building. And the incredible part is that I have something exclusive for you that I want to play that is going to blow away so many doubts. And this is what you're going to hear now.
Well, Willie, let me ask you to hold it if you're going to play something for us, because I need
to take a
break. And then when we come back from the break, we'll have time to listen to it, okay?
You got it.
Very good, sir. 888-5 Peter B., if you'd like to talk with Willie Rodriguez. He's here for another few minutes. And by the way, Willie, we're going to be joined in the following segment, not the next one, but the one after that, by a gentleman named Mickey Huff, who teaches classes on 9/11. And if you'd like to stay with us, and if your schedule permits, you're welcome to do that. If you can't, I certainly understand. But
I won't be able, because I am dealing with big news about Spain,
right.
Madrid bombing.
Yeah, there was a verdict there where 8 people were acquitted and others were convicted today. It's very interesting. Let me take a break and we'll return in just a moment. Willie Rodriguez with us here, a hero of 9/11 and now fighting for the truth about 9/11. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on 2 of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
The Direct Action Task Force Against Torture will be holding a 3-day teach-in and vigil from Friday, November 16th through Sunday, November 18th. This event calls for an immediate end to the use of torture by any country. The teach-in and vigil will be held outside the gates to the Presidio of Monterey at Private Bolio Road and Lighthouse Avenue. The event is free and open to the public. For information and schedule, our website is peacemonterey.org or call 831-643-2705.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. We're talking with 9/11 hero Willie Rodriguez. Here's Yoko Ono.
While the world watched in horror, two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center.
Well, that's the popular notion, Yoko, but many of us challenge the official story. Willie Rodriguez is one of them. As we mentioned, he was a janitor with special keys, one of the few master keys to Trade Center Tower number 1. And when he got to work a little late on 9/11, he was heroic and led firefighters up the stairs into the building that had already been struck. And, Willie, go right ahead and take over here. You have a clip you want to play for us, and I want to hear it.
And this is Anthony Saltalamacchia. This is one of the supervisors that was on the basement with me during that day, and I found him 6 years after the event. The guy actually has been away for 6 years because, number one, he was never called to testify. He was never given the opportunity to tell his story. And second, because he believed that there was a formal investigation after the 9/11 commission closed down still going on. And I had the opportunity to meet with him, and this is what he has to say.
My name is Anthony Saltalamacchia. My position was morning supervisor from the hours of 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. I would supervise over 100 workers and designate their work for the day. On the morning of September 11th, I was in my office. I was just getting the work handed out to all the employees when I received a phone call from William Rodriguez saying that he wasn't going to make it into work that day. I then kind of pleaded with him to come into work because his job is very, difficult, to where he had to clean 110 floors of stairs, and not too many people are up for that challenge. So, you know, I kind of persuaded him to come in and get the job done. So I then waited for him for his arrival. Upon waiting, he then came in. We then were talking about the day's work and what needed to be done. We heard a massive explosion that was in the World Trade Center at about 8:46 a.m. in the morning. The explosion came from, I believe, at first we believed that it came from the mechanical room. And then we heard a series of other explosions that sounded up on the above levels of the building, to where we then realized that there was something wrong and there was a major problem. And about, I'd say, 14 to 15 people came running and screaming into our office. We then got together as a group, and William kind of basically got everybody settled down, you know, tried to help everybody relax. Then right after that, the floor started shaking. The tile from above, which was above us, started coming down, falling on us, and we knew that there was something seriously wrong happening. A man came into the office. He was a black man, very shaky, very like in shock. He had multiple wounds. His arms were bleeding. Skin was peeling off. You could just see basically his flesh. It was, you know, a very tough thing to see. And then William grabbed a cloth and wrapped it around him. And at the time, nobody really wanted to go near him because he was just covered in blood. But William did what he had to do, and get him to safety. And as we're standing there, more explosions were happening, a lot of screaming, confusion. And then William said, you know, that it's time, like, we have to get out of the building. In that manner, all of us departed out. It was very smoky, very cloudy. It just looked very serious, that we knew that we had to get out of the building. We then ran towards the truck dock area, which was pretty much our only way out, because in the beginning, William led us to the fire escape, which led us to the lobby, but that was completely under smoke, and it just was a bad situation, so we went the opposite way towards the truck dock, carrying this man with us. We then got to the truck dock, ran up the truck dock, and got outside. Finally, not sure of what time that was, but we then saw the ambulance, and William and Kenny directed the man, carried him over to the ambulance, and made sure that he got to safety. I remember Willie wanted to go back into the building. I told him, no, stay out here with me. Let's get things more, you know, let's get everybody together, get everybody calmed down. He just refused and was, you know, screaming, we have to go back in the building. We have to go back. I'm sure he had a lot of ties to a lot of people in there, and he wanted to make sure that they were all right. So I, you know, did my best to try and persuade him to stay, you know, with us and, you know, be safe, but he just didn't listen and ran back into the building. I remember him running back into the fusion horror, you know, like, you know, just disbelief. I then directed my attention to the building where everybody was looking at.
An idea, more or less. This is an exclusive clip. Nobody has heard this before.
Willie, I'm just seconds away from a break. Can I get five more minutes from you?
Sure.
We'll come back to you right after the break. Willie Rodriguez with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. There's hardly anything these days that you can't find online. Now, since a lot of people have mobile phones with internet access, there's a startup company that says it can even find you a parking space when you need one. It's called Spot Scout. We'll tell you about it after this.
You know, a wise man once said, "Do what you love and you won't have to work a day in your life." Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
The 60s defied convention, from fashion to music to cereal. Take Total, the very first cereal with 100% of 11 vitamins and minerals. Today, only Total cereal has 100% daily value of calcium to support a healthy body and an antioxidant to support a healthy mind. Plus, with new flavors like Cranberry Crunch, it tastes amazing. It won't change the world, just how the world eats breakfast. Total, for mind and body.
Who owns the parking space your car is in? Whoever owns the parking lot, if it's in a parking lot. But if you're parked legally on the street, unless there's a meter, you are the one in control. Nobody else can park there until you leave. And you are in charge of when that is. Meanwhile, presumably, there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of drivers looking for a spot, driving around, waiting for one to open up. Sometimes following somebody on foot who looks as if they might be heading for their car and ready to move it. Others use the strategy of double parking and just waiting there, patiently, hoping against hope that somebody will get in their car and go through the motions, adjusting the rearview mirrors, the driver's seat, the radio. And then half the time they just sit there, waiting for somebody else, apparently. It is all very frustrating. But what you have there is the potential for a marketplace. Maybe somebody looking for a space would pay somebody who is in a space. Thereby hangs the business plan of Spot Scout CEO Andrew Roller. He says in the 21st century, you shouldn't have to look for a parking space anymore. You can get online and bid for one. Some people may object to having to pay for a public parking space. But the upside is that when you're ready to leave, you might be able to sell that same parking space to somebody else. What you're actually selling is information about your intentions. Will Spot Scout work? We shall see. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with 9/11 hero Willie Rodriguez. You just heard the account of his co-worker who described what Willie did on 9/11. And Willie, I appreciate the extra time. When you really need to go, just tell me, and we'll respect that. I would like to get you back on the program for a full hour in the future because I've got callers who'd like to talk to you, and there's certainly more questions. But tell me a little bit more about the context of the clip that you just played from your co-worker and these explosions that many of you heard before the first tower started to crumble and come down.
What you have here is just pure evidence that these people have been willing and able to testify completely about their experiences, and they were never called to testify. The sad thing is that they spent, and you know this better than anybody, they spent more money on the Monica Lewinsky trial than they did on the death of 3,000 people.
Yeah.
And that's immoral.
And, Willie, I actually went and observed the work of the 9/11 Commission in Washington for a couple of days, and it was a sorry spectacle. They were not really interested in getting to the truth. They were interested in getting it over with and writing a report to try to mollify the American public without answering the most difficult questions that still linger out there.
That is so correct, and I was on those hearings as well. And you may remember me on the front with some of the family members.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing was such a fiasco. When you are trying to do an investigation, number one, they did a bipartisan organization that basically what they did was just to try to embarrass each other behind closed doors. Number two, they remember the 9/11 Commission was created with one caveat, and it was that FEMA, the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the Department of State will be exempt of prosecution.
Yeah.
So now what do we need an investigation for?
Right.
Really, it doesn't make any sense.
And the reports are just riddled with inconsistencies and unasked questions. You didn't get
right.
to testify. There's a guy named Steve Elston who used to work for the FAA who knew the vulnerabilities of our air security system. He badly wanted to testify. He was reduced to a footnote in the 9/11 Commission report.
Well, I testified behind closed doors, and my testimony doesn't appear on the final report.
Yeah.
And I was a person that was wine and dying by them. Basically, they wanted me to be part of their little clique.
Yeah.
And, you know, once I started talking about something that they didn't want to hear, it was just a big turnaround.
Now, Willie, help me understand one thing, because I find that many people who I talk to who are from New York or from Washington simply cannot get past the events that were described to them, the myth that's been created, and they think people like me and you are crazy to ask honest questions.
We just have unanswered questions. We are totally accused of being conspiracy theorists. We are being accused of being disengaged with the reality of what happened on that day, which is not true. Number one, we are eyewitnesses. I was there. I experienced the event. I testified. I have been on many issues involved with the families and survivors and those affected by the event. I am a family activist and family leader. People don't understand that we are in the center core of the whole investigation and on the whole process of trying to get answers for the victims and families. And the reality is that they have used our event for a political agenda that we do not agree with. They have created this whole great new policy and basically eliminated almost every civil right by using 9/11 as an excuse. Oh, we have to take this right because we're going to make it easier for us to detect terrorists. And, I believe they were terrorists. And I believe that the government knew about it and they didn't do anything just to... I mean, you have that lady, Sybil Emmons, the most gagged
sure.
woman in history.
Yeah, we know Sybil very well.
And she is, such a trooper because she has been gagged constantly, so she won't come out and tell her story.
Well, and she's,
how the
she
government
is,
knew
she
about
is,
this whole thing.
She is now offering to tell the whole story to a television network that will interview her and run the whole package unedited, and I fully support that. I know a little bit. Sybil has never violated the gag order and told me things, but we know the outlines of what she would like to talk about. And it's just incredible and obscene that she is silenced and we cannot know the truth about what she knows.
Correct. And that's the same situation for many other people. And I know there's a lot of people, and we have many that are willing to come out and talk. But we have to, number one, we don't have a whistleblower act. Let's start with that. Anybody that comes out and tells a story that goes against the official story, if they're in government, they will be attacked. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, there's no protection for these people. So we have to create a way to protect these people so they can come forward.
And, Willie, let me ask you your opinion of David Ray Griffin's work, particularly his most recent book called Debunking 9/11 Debunking.
Yes, a very good book, and David Ray Griffin is a wonderful person. I mean, I met him in person, and what a sweet of a guy, so nice. I mean, and he's definitely an intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
He has the credentials. He has the ability to express what maybe most of the people out there trying to do an investigation won't be able to express like he does, and he's been attacked constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have people, if you go to Wikipedia, I had a Wikipedia page, and it has been vandalized, and they make me look like this extreme nut job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done by this group of people coming out from an organization called the JREF Forum. And they just, you know, organizing themselves to attack everything that we're doing, because we are actually doing the right thing. We are creating the media attention, not only here, but internationally. And we have reached millions upon millions of people with our request for an investigation, and the mm-hmm. issue that 6 years after 9/11, 6 years, we still suffering because of the event. 6 years after 9/11, you have the first responders dying one by one
yeah.
because of exposure to the environmental disaster that was created, and the government don't recognize it.
And how is your health, Willie Rodriguez?
Well, my health is affected. I developed asthma, chronic fatigue syndrome, and, of course, I remember I was buried for several hours on that day, but I did not have the exposure that these first responders spent months there
yeah.
doing work rescue effort, and now they're not even taken care of. And it's sad that, you know, 6 years after, these people are not recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of the issues that we want to put forward. When you have somebody like Rudolph Giuliani that created a whole mystique and a persona of being this great 9/11 hero, that, you know, the families don't agree with that.
No.
Let's start with that. The Firefighters Association came out against that and talk about, you know, how he's using 9/11 as a political stepping stone, and we don't like it.
It's obscene. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, and I'm sorry, but it is obscene what Giuliani is trying to do.
Well, and again, you know, we're trying to get to the truth, and we get accused of doing that. Sometimes people say, well, are you doing this for money? When somebody says that, I just say, well, listen, I was homeless last year, living under a bridge, when this guy made $107 million, and don't take my word for it, he's on the internet. Go and check all the newspaper investigations about how much money this guy made.
Yeah.
So somebody that exploited our tragedy, our disaster, and our pain, and somebody coming out and saying that what we're doing is because of money or because... No. They're totally, totally disoriented when it comes to our reality. The reality is that we do this because we lost so many people. And personally, I lost 200 friends that are not able to talk for themselves. Mm. And I have to take it upon my own to be a voice for those people. And
Willie,
that's why I'm doing this.
Willie, I appreciate it. And you're a hero now, and you were a hero on 9/11. And I just appreciate you taking time out from your life to talk to people and try to fight for the truth here. You're going to be at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland on Thursday. That's tomorrow. I believe 7 p.m. is the time of the presentation. And then this Sunday at the Fortuna River Lodge, 4 p.m., you can get tickets at The Works in Arcata or Eureka and log on to WTCfriends.org for more information. Willie, you've been very generous with your time. If I may ask you just one more question, and then I'll let you go. And that is the films that have been made, like Loose Change and 9/11 Press for Truth. Is there one that you would recommend for people who are maybe hearing about this for the first time and need to understand the dimensions of the mythology of 9/11 and those who are fighting for the truth?
Absolutely. They should go for 9/11 Press for Truth, because you have the actual family members that were involved in the creation of the 9/11 Commission Board, and they will understand a little better what our plight is. Number two, they could go to William911, the number's 911.com. That's my website. And check in there. I have a film coming out next week called The Last Man Out that actually talks about my whole story. And it's all about a European tour, and you could see the reaction all over the world to the issues that we are bringing forward. They mm-hmm. don't believe that, you know, our nation, after the event happened, didn't do the utmost outreach for the families. And, you know, basically that's going to be available, William911.com.
Got it. Willie, thank you very much for your extra time today, and I would like to, when your schedule permits, invite you back for a full hour, because there's so much to talk about, and yours is a voice that needs to be heard.
I promise I will do it.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. All the best.
Willie Rodriguez, again, William911.com is his website, and I encourage you to check that out. 44 minutes into the hour, and we have a couple of callers on the line who wanted to talk to Willie. I know, but he does need to go to another interview about the verdicts from Madrid. Dave, are you there? Oh, Dave moved on. Let's see. Dan in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Well, yeah, you know, my comment was that I can't believe that 6 years after this happened that there isn't any formal investigation into the criminal acts that were committed on the American people.
Oh, Dan, don't you understand? Nobody's responsible. Nobody has been held accountable. Nobody made any mistakes on 9/11. It was just, you know, the moon and Mercury were in retrograde.
I'm outraged that Bill Clinton actually came out against any kind of investigation or. You know, it sounds like they're all in the same boat with this, and there must be hundreds of people that know the truth, and they're not coming forward. And another thing is that the military must be complicit in this.
Don't know that, but certainly the efforts on 9/11, where there was this whole war game activity going on, and we know from the tapes of NORAD being contacted by the FAA that there was severe confusion about whether this was a war game or a real world event. That's the phrase that was used repeatedly by the folks at NORAD and the FAA. And that's just one example. I certainly feel that there were failures by the military. I don't have enough evidence to say that they were complicit or, you know, exactly what complicity might have occurred. But I'm very willing to say, Dan, that we don't know the truth about what happened that day. We deserve to, and we need to, because if we learn the truth about 9/11, it will peel back layers of onion that will reveal many other stinky things. You know, such as Pakistan's involvement, the ISI, the secret agency of Pakistan, its chief was in Washington, wired $100,000 to Mohammed Atta just a few days before he got on the bird. I mean, there's so many issues like that. And if we do ever learn the truth about 9/11, it will reveal much, much more.
Well, thank you for the work that you do, Peter.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm kind of driven to it, but thank you, Dan. We're going to take a break and return. Mickey Huff will join us. He's a professor who teaches a course about the myths of 9/11. We'll get his take on the comments of Willie Rodriguez and also some recent challenges to the NIST report, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, something like that. More in a moment. You can call in, too. We'll talk with you if we have room at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. This week on the show, meet Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy. Jim has an incredible opportunity going on right now with an elegant high-rise condo in downtown Chicago. If you're looking to build wealth, listen this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Roller Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376 or check us out online at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in SoCal Village at Old San Jose Road in SoCal Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional...
Historiographically, I mean, that's a long story. So, again, you know, I think the comments are quite relevant, and Rodriguez's testimony is ought to be, in a free society, at front and center of debate. And if we actually had a free press and we actually had, one of the callers suggested that, well, we need to have an investigation. Well, the investigation isn't to find out what happened. It's to promulgate the mythology that ties through with past corroboration of, you know, the official state views of that the people have no role in the society other than to be good workers and anymore don't even have time to pay attention to such stories. So the publication of the commission report was a grand attempt, you know, at mythology to carry through what's been going on in this country since its inception.
And Dr. David Ray Griffin, I think, correctly renamed the 9/11 Commission the Cain-Zelikow Commission because right. It was Phil Zelikow, who's an assistant to Condoleezza Rice, who was sent over from the National Security Council to ride herd and make sure that the 9/11 Commission didn't dig too deep.
Of course. And, you know, it's PhD characters. These are not at all naive or stupid people, and I don't believe at all that they're inept, although we see a lot of that in the so-called liberal media about the ineptitude of war planners and so on and so forth. I tend to be one of the people that think that they're doing pretty much exactly what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Mickey, let me ask you this. Recently I've received some emails, and I worry sometimes about the credibility of some of the people who are freelance truth seekers about 9/11. But one that seemed credible indicated that the NIST report, which has been repeatedly challenged, that there have actually been some concessions coming from NIST that they don't know why Building 7 came down in particular.
No, this is true. In fact, the National Institute of Standards and Technologies, when they did the analysis of the towers and so on, they basically proved to a conclusion. I mean, they basically had a hypothesis, and they didn't include anything that veered outside of the official possibility. I mean, that's what they were instructed to do. Even though, and of course, you know, one of the more one of the more interesting things for all the world could see, you know, when the buildings are exploding, towers 1 and 2, and building 7 is imploding. I mean, that's empirical evidence, just you see. It's interesting how NIST was supposed to do what they were going to do, given that the government violated its own laws and, you know, corrupted the crime scene. They whisked everything away so things couldn't be properly analyzed. I mean, given that it's the first time in modern history that steel-framed buildings are obliterated due to fire, one would think that not just the government, but architects, engineers, one would think that there would be a herd of interested people to go and scope this out. And so NIST's study is flawed from the start. It's not a scientific study. It's, of course, designed to look like one. But there have been recent defections. Another character, Dr. Quintieri, I think is the way his name is pronounced, actually came out and said that the whole NIST thing was a fraud. They actually need to have a real discussion. Jim Hoffman has actually a really good dissection of the NIST report.
He's a professor from the University of Minnesota.
What's that?
Hoffman at the University of Minnesota.
No, this is
Jim
Hoffman in Alameda in California.
Sure.
This is not Jim Fetzer.
Thank you. I confused the two.
Fact,
I've met Hoffman,
and in
too.
In fact, Hoffman and Fetzer have nothing in common other than they talk about 9/11.
Yeah, you're right. Let me jump to one other thing, Mickey, because our time is going to run short here.
Oh, sure, I'm sorry.
You moderated a panel, and there was a question from the audience about 9/11.
Right.
And Robert Perry, who's a friend of mine and whom I have deep respect for, a terrific investigative reporter who blew the cover off the Iran-Contra scandal a few years back,
yep.
He expressed what is common. He lives in Washington, and he believes the 9/11 story.
Yeah, and so do Terry Allen and Alexander Coburn and, you know, Matt Rothschild and a number of other progressive-styled journalists. And I too, share your admiration of Robert Perry and Consortium News. But, you know, as a moderator, I had to be quite moderate.
You were.
And, you know, I was actually quite appalled. You know, at least Tom Hartman, you know, tried to make a JFK analogy and squirm in and around some things. And I of course moved it along, given that it can be a rabbit hole distraction for many. But I think the reason it has that power is because of the mythology surrounding it. And, you know, again, it's sort of like this Lacanian hole. The investigation was done with shoddy and bogus. It was done that way, arguably on purpose, to A, create a narrative that ties into the past that people will recognize and accept, and B, to create, you know, suspicion, just like the Warren Commission report did, you know, and its magic bullet theory, that any thinking person could see that there are problems till doomsday. But that's okay, because they have the official authority to claim that that's the end of the story. NIST won't debate people publicly about it.
Yeah.
FEMA won't.
Mickey, we're largely left
with these unanswered questions.
I've got to stop us here. It's a pleasure to talk with you. We'll do it again. Mickey Huff, again, MythInfo, M-Y-T-H, MythInfo.blogspot.com. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks so much, Peter.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Fed makes its move.
A small early Christmas gift for consumers. Down go interest rates again. I'm Barry Bagnato at the Treasury Department.
A multi-million-dollar judgment against religious extremists who picket military funerals.
America is doomed.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Wall Street and Main Street got good news today when the Federal Reserve cut the cost of borrowing, reducing the benchmark federal funds rate by 0.25%. The Dow jumped 137 points to close just below 14,000.
I'm Barry Bagnato at the Treasury Department. The Fed is making this move to try to steady the sputtering economy. It predicts growth will slow in the coming months, partly because of the deepening housing slump, the worst in two decades. An early Christmas gift for consumers, but how big, Toro College economist Dr. Peter Sperling?
It's a little bit of a plus for credit card balance loans and for personal loans and car loans and things of that sort. But it's unlikely that there's going to be huge drops in interest rates.
Before making further cuts, the Fed must carefully weigh the consequences. If rates fall too far, they could spark so much spending that prices will jump.
The price of crude oil did jump today, more than $4 to close at a record $94.53 a barrel.
This could have an immediate impact on what we pay at the pump.
Phil Flynn at Aileron Trading says it wasn't the Fed's action that caused this spike.
This market was stunned by another bullish inventory report. The truth of the matter is that crude oil inventories fell almost by 4 million barrels when most of the analysts thought they were going to rise.
That shows demand continues to be strong. Now this.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
Hi, I'm a Han F3 office chair. Why F3? Well, because I'm funky, fresh, and friendly. Actually, I have no idea. Probably some marketing thing. But come here, take a seat on my oh-so-stylish frame. Feel that? Yeah, that's my Alira stretch fabric back, conforming to your every move. You know, we could be doing this every day. You, me, maybe a spreadsheet or two? Think about it.
The F3 chair from Han. Designed with fit, form, and function in mind. Visit GetHan.com. GetHON.com. Han. Smart now, smarter later.
Members of the Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas believe the Iraq War is God's punishment for America's tolerance of homosexuality, and that's their message when they demonstrate at military funerals. When a group appeared at the Maryland funeral of a fallen Marine, Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder, his father, Albert, sued. Today, a jury in Baltimore awarded him nearly $11 million in damages. The verdict has been met with defiance. Margie Phelps is a daughter of the church's pastor, Fred Phelps.
That verdict did not bring one dead soldier back to life, and the soldiers are still dying, and the wrath of God is still pouring out unmixed on this nation. Nothing has changed.
Reverend Phelps and two other daughters were found liable for invasion of privacy and intent to inflict emotional distress. Strong wind in Miami for Tropical Storm Noel.
It's going to pass fairly close to southeast Florida, and so we do have a tropical storm watch in effect for Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties.
Richard Pash at the National Hurricane Center says Noel is drifting very slowly from Cuba toward the Bahamas. It's blamed for 66 deaths in Haiti and the Dominican Republic, where torrential rain caused flooding and mudslides. Comings and goings in the Bush administration. The president is nominating former North Dakota Governor Edward Schaefer to be Agriculture Secretary.
At every stage of his career, Ed has shown wisdom, foresight, and creativity. Those same qualities will make him a valuable member of my cabinet.
Schaefer would replace Mike Johanns, who resigned last month to run for Republican Chuck Hagel's Nebraska Senate seat.
It is humbling to follow my friend Secretary Johanns into this position, and I hope that I can live up to the high standards of performance that he set at the agency.
One of Mr. Bush's closest advisors, Karen Hughes, says she'll leave the State Department and return to Texas before Christmas.
I've spent almost 9 of the last 12 years of my career now in government service, and after commuting between Washington and Austin not nearly as often as I would like to for the last 2.5 years, I'm looking forward to returning to private life.
Hughes' main job has been public diplomacy, working to improve the United States' image in the Muslim world. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Reason number 13 to switch to GEICO. Everybody else is doing it. Now, we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to GEICO for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
It's vitamin A.
Vitamins and minerals of Centrum. I've got a big announcement. We've been reformulated.
Yeah! Wait, so we're losing our jobs?
No, zinc. We're doing them better. With Centrum's Better Balance formula, we work together. Like more vitamin C and selenium teaming up for immunity.
Oh, looking forward to working with you, vitamin C.
Of course you are. I mean, likewise, selenium.
New formula Centrum, working better together.
From A to zinc.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
I'm the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
The Oracle Glenn Beck tells us that it was America haters who brought the wildfires to Southern California last week. We now know that one of the fires was caused by a young man playing with matches.
You're gonna burn.
And there were other causes as well. John Garamendi is the Lieutenant Governor of California. He was on scene in Southern California last week and offered some strong critical comments on national media. I'm very proud of the work that he did. John, thanks for joining us today.
Peter B., it's always a pleasure to join you.
Well,
you do such a great job getting a message out there that people have to hear.
Well, we do what we can, and I'm delighted that we've arranged now for you to come on with us every other week to update us on various issues from Sacramento and the work that you've been doing.
And I'm looking forward to it.
So take us back to last week, and one of the first questions I want to ask you, and if you'll pardon the pun, it's a burning question. When George W. Bush buzzed in on Air Force One, complete with some a senator and a couple of members of Congress, did he in fact shut down the airspace in the fire zone and ground the firefighters who had just gotten started because of the high winds, the Santa Anas, that remained in effect through Tuesday and part of Wednesday? When the president got there, did it actually cause a suspension of aerial firefighting activities?
In the area around the president and his airplane, yes.
And how big an area was that?
I really don't know the exact area. I know he took a helicopter tour, so certainly in that area, whenever Air Force One goes anywhere and is in the air, there are no airplanes allowed within a significant distance around Air Force One. Before the president, I want to be at least accurate, if not, well, I better be accurate here, at least as much as I know it. There was air activity and air suppression before the president arrived. It shut down during during the time he was on the ground, some 3 hours, and then it commenced after he left. So that part of the day, yeah, it was shut down in the area in which he was, which is probably most of the San Diego area, although I can't say that for sure.
And that's really unconscionable in my view, and I think it underscores the angry reaction that was discernible to me as a viewer when I saw you on Chris Matthews' Hardball on Wednesday night, and I think he sprung it on you that the president had announced that he was coming, and you did not welcome him at first.
Well, I've traveled with the president before, with President Clinton, Vice President Gore on Air Force One, and I've been many, many times when the president's gone to California or to other disaster zones around the nation as President Clinton. And I know that when the president goes someplace, it is a big, big production. You've got Secret Service all over the place. You've got traffic stop. You do all kinds of things that are just plain disruptive. And we were in the midst of a major effort to try to suppress these fires with more than 300,000 or 400,000 people being evacuated, the roads being clogged, on and on and on. And I just thought that the president's visit was, at that time, not useful and disruptive. And besides that, I got to tell you, this guy has so failed, so failed this nation. You know, I don't want to get into the war in Iraq on this, but I guess I did. I said, if you want to do something, Mr. President, bring our National Guard back. Well, you know, that got everybody upset. But the reality is that the National Guard has been raided for men and women and material and equipment. 50% of the equipment that we need for the California National Guard is just gone. It's been used for the war effort.
And the right-wing attack dogs ran some numbers, and I guess they claim there are only 1,500 California Guard members currently deployed in Iraq. Is that accurate?
I think it's 2,600, but there are 1,500 National Guard members that were actually employed here in California. There's some 16,000 National Guard members that are active.
Mm-hmm.
We got 20-some thousand that are, I guess, in the system, but maybe 16,000 that are active. Of those, how many are really available? Well, many of them are not because they're coming back from duty and they're not readily, you just can't call them up readily.
Now, what about the Guard members that are deployed for photo ops and, you know, feel-good PR releases at the border? We know that they're not actually conducting any border guarding activities. They're polishing their trucks and wasting their time.
Well, there's 600 of them, and those 600 actually came into the fire lines fairly early, and then they went back to the border 18 hours after they arrived at the fire lines, or in the evacuation centers, actually. The bottom line of all this is that the California National Guard did a superb job with what they had. But they are, I was down at Qualcomm Stadium meeting with the Guard, and men and women from all over California, some of whom had actually had to evacuate their families and then go off and do service in the National Guard, some of whom have lost their homes in the fire. They were working hard. They were doing what they had. I looked at their equipment. They had 1970 Broncos and machinery, and they had to put plastic oil pans beneath the crankcases and the differentials because they didn't want to leak oil onto the Qualcomm Stadium concrete.
Jeez.
We're talking about old equipment. You know, the war is a major disaster for this nation. It is badly conducted, never should have happened in the first place, based upon bad information or false information. And then we're stuck there with $2.4 billion of American money being spent on that war. And the more we spend, the deeper in the hole we get, not only financially, but it appears diplomatically.
Well, and one of the twisted ironies here, John Garamendi, is that this president, who dodged service in Vietnam by joining the Texas Air National Guard, has used the National Guard across the country in ways that nobody ever expected. It was never intended. And the repeated extended tours of duty for these individuals who thought that they might be fighting a fire for a couple of days or, you know, spending their 2 weeks of vacation on training missions in the summer, they've been used and abused in a manner that is unconscionable. And the added insult is that this is the guy who used the National Guard to avoid serving.
Quite correct, and that was the point I made when Matthew said the president's coming out, and it just burned me because of all of those reasons, as well as I knew it would be disruptive. And the fact is that when he did show up 8 times in New Orleans, the situation didn't get better. He was down in New Orleans in the Gulf States 8 times following Katrina when his administration and he should have been taking immediate action to deal with the flooding and the catastrophe that occurred down there. There are those who say, well, not if they don't to say it, it's a fact that to this day, 2 years later, the levees have not yet been completed in New Orleans.
Yeah.
They're not complete yet.
And
point was, I don't want that to happen in California. Mr. President, if you're coming out here and you're going to make promises, then you better deliver on the promises. And frankly, we're going to need a lot of federal help to rebuild. Well, certainly we ought to rebuild our National Guard. When I met with the National Guard people there in San Diego, I was talking to some of the men and women that are in one of the units, and I said, how are you doing? And they said, this is what we want to do. This is what we signed up to do, to take care of our neighborhood, to take care of our state and our community. I thought, yeah, right on. You're absolutely right. And yet, you know, you're right. They've been deployed 3 times in some cases and lost their jobs.
Yeah.
And it's just not right. But anyway, now the president has made his promises. to help California rebuild, and good. Okay, Mr. President, show us the money. Show us the help.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment about the response to the wildfires in Southern California last week, get on the line now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. In the next segment, John, I want to ask you, as the former insurance commissioner, about insurance company and FEMA response to the individuals who've lost their homes.
Yep.
But first up, give us a grade on Governor Schwarzenegger's performance.
Oh, I'd be right near the A level.
Mm-hmm.
He has really done a very, very good job. I said yesterday when I was with him at a press conference in San Diego, I said, I've been through, you know, years and years, 91, the Oakland Hills fire, and President and Governor Wilson at that time, and then later 2003 with Davis. Each time the governor's got better, but Governor Schwarzenegger, this is his 10th day, every day, out at some part of the fire or the disaster recovery effort, bringing a message of hope and in many cases, more than that, message of we're delivering the goods. The fire response was very good. Over the years, from over those 27 or 17 years from 91 until this year, there's been consistent improvement in the response to these fires.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the issue of these spotters who were supposed to be in the helicopters, and when they were not available, the helicopters couldn't fly?
True. Limited issue. There were a very limited number of helicopters that would have been used in that situation. It is true. That's one of the things that is going to have to be dealt with. And part of that, frankly, is the training of the National Guard helicopter and military. The reason you needed the spotters is that those pilots for those particular helicopters have no training in dealing with fires. They don't know how to deal with it. And frankly, it's a very, very dangerous thing.
Oh, it sure is, because I'm trying to think of the way the microcurrents in the sky,
yeah,
they change because of the huge temperature changes and the oxygen suction that the fire pulls in. So it can be very dangerous to fly in those areas.
Exactly, and the pilots have no training for that particular purpose, and even though they may be highly skilled pilots. So the spotters were necessary to assist them and watch out for this, watch out for that, and also to communicate with the other airplanes and the command system that the fire services use. So that should be necessary. And again, back to what's the National Guard being used for, the training of those pilots so that they would be trained to deal with fires as well as other kinds of emergencies. All of that's necessary. It's one of the areas we have to improve. At the end of the day, did it make a big difference? No, it didn't, but it would have been one additional asset that could have been available.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. We're talking about response to the wildfires in Southern California last week. Lines open if you'd like to ask a question. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8 372. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. He served in the legislature, an assemblyman, and a state senator. Served two non-connected terms as insurance commissioner, and in between was undersecretary of the interior during the Clinton administration. We're talking about response to the fires, the wildfires in Southern California last week. We'll take a couple of phone calls in a minute. But, John Garamendi, as a former insurance commissioner, what do you see as the response so far from the insurance carriers? And have they learned their lessons from earthquakes and the Oakland fire and other episodes where you had to discipline them for their weak response?
It is too early to tell, but it appears that they are certainly aware. They have their claims vehicles out. They are flooding the area with various claims adjusters and the like. All of that's good. That follows the rules that I laid out following the 2003 fire. We actually had to do what we called the Homeowner's Bill of Rights. It involved several things under insurance issues, addressing those, making sure that policyholders didn't get burned twice by having their policy and then losing it because they were burned in the first place. So a series of things. Much of that's going to be determined over the next couple of months as these claims are going out. We had a meeting yesterday in San Diego a lesson we learned in the Angora fire up at Tahoe, that a community response to a community problem of cleaning up the debris. You've got 1,600 homes in San Diego County that are a pile of ashes. Individuals would have to go out, 1,600 different contracts with different vendors to clean up those sites.
Mm-hmm.
In Tahoe, the county and state came in and did it with one contractor. Got it all done in 2.5 weeks, and the homes, some 70 out of the 240 homes, are now under construction in the Tahoe area. We took that message down to San Diego, and I believe it's going to go into effect. The insurance industry has a major role in that, in that they're going to wind up paying for most of it because the homeowner insurance calls for the payment of debris removal.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try that in San Bernardino County tomorrow. I'll meet with the supervisors in San Bernardino. So we had very good success yesterday with the insurance industry, with the mayor and this San Diego and the supervisors in San Diego County. I think we're going to get that together, working again closely with the Schwarzenegger administration.
And briefly, John, does replacement value actually mean replacement value in the insurance policies?
It does now. It did not in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We had to write a new law, and the front page of every homeowner's insurance policy is different now, and it should be very clear to everybody as exactly how much coverage there is. Now, homeowners may choose to have less coverage than necessary. That's their choice, but they should be fully informed. And if the insurance industry is providing any information at all as to how much it's going to cost to rebuild a home, then the insurance industry is responsible for the accuracy of it.
Let's take a call. John in Carmel Valley, you're on the air with Lieutenant Governor Garamendi.
I want to commend Mr. Garamendi for his reports concerning the fire. I heard him days ago when the fires were still going on Ed Schultz's program.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, and I heard him just now talk about how the Iraq war does impact our ability to fight fires, let alone everything else. There is just incredible frustration growing, but still nothing showing tangibly from it regarding the Congress taking no action and even caving in to more war, and now the rumors of a possible war with Iran that keep growing. This man is acting not only now but potentially so irresponsibly that what do you think we can do?
All right, John, you got a response?
Well, I there's several things that can be done, and nobody wants the responsibility of leaving the soldiers over there without the equipment that they need, and obviously that's the card that President Bush keeps playing, and the Republicans keep playing that card. There was a suggestion by, I think it's Congressman Dennis Cardoza out of the Central Valley, that let's do it this way. Let's fund this thing on 3 or 4 month cycles and force the president to come back and ask for and explain why more money is needed. It is a very difficult political situation for the Democrats, I think more out of fear, and frankly, I don't think that fear is warranted. But nonetheless, that's what's happening here.
John, I really dislike
this blank check business. I think it is a very, very serious problem. And all of it's off budget.
Yeah.
None of this stuff is part of the budget, so it's all being paid for with debt,
John,
most of which is now owned by China.
John, we're out of time. Sorry. John Garamendi, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks. Take care.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Soaking the middle class. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Investor Warren Buffett, net worth $52 billion, has been complaining about the unfairness of the U.S. tax system for years. Not unfair to him, but to the middle class. That's why he invited Tom Brokaw over to look at a survey he did of the tax rates paid by his office staff. Average tax rate among the staff? 32.9% between the income tax and the Social Security payroll tax. Warren Buffett's rate? 17.7%, even though his income was $66 million last year. Now, of course, in absolute dollars, he paid a lot more in tax, but no one in the office paid a lower rate than he did. And there's no mystery here. He makes his money from capital gains, which are taxed at a much lower rate. You see, in our tax system, a person who earns his money swabbing toilets pays a higher tax rate than the investor who sits on that toilet watching his stocks go up on his BlackBerry. Mr. Buffett seems puzzled that such an unfair tax system persists, especially since the middle class can outvote the rich any day of the week, but there's no mystery there either. It turns out that Buffett's employees didn't even know what their tax rate was until he told them. These are people who work for an investment firm. Even they didn't know their tax rate. And you know what? I'll bet they didn't want to know. Because the American middle class doesn't mind being screwed as long as no one tells us. That's why we sign credit card agreements. That's why no one wants calorie counts on menus. Just remember this. Taxes are the price we pay. for a civilized society. Getting screwed by the tax system is the price we pay for not having a lobbyist. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Do you fancy yourself driving along here in rush hour traffic behind the wheel of a hybrid plug-in Prius? Well, there's something going on where you and I might be able to get one of these babies for an 8-week test drive. Sherry Bosher wrote the book about plug-in hybrids. She returns to our program today. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Y'all charged up?
You bet.
Well, I was disappointed when I read this Chronicle article today that you were not quoted.
Well, that's fine. You know, my book came out just 1 year ago, but a lot has happened since then and since the last time we've talked. This is just the latest example that they're going to have 100 plug-in hybrid conversions that UC Davis is going to offer to regular drivers like you and me through the American Automobile Association.
Well, now, this is just another advantage of being a member of the AAA. I usually just rely on them to tow and, you know, start my dead battery car. But this is kind of interesting. So UC Davis has a whole department there. I'm looking here. It's called the Plug-in Hybrid Center at the Institute of Transportation Studies. What do you know about the operation there at UC Davis, Sherry?
Well, they've been around for quite a while, and actually there's one at UC Berkeley and elsewhere, too. Some funding comes from the state. The state basically provided most of the funding to start the Plug-in Hybrid Center just this year. But they do a lot of other work. There's a lot of car company money that has flown into the center to do hydrogen fuel cell research.
Nice.
So you have a lot of hydrogen boosters there as well. But plug-in hybrids are they're up and coming.
Mm-hmm. And you've been driving your own customized plug-in car for a while now.
Well, not customized. Mine was made by Toyota. It's a Toyota RAV4 EV, all-electric SUV,
mm-hmm.
made in 2002, back when all the major car companies were producing electric cars. And if any of your listeners have seen the movie Who Killed the Electric Car, they know the story of how most of those were taken off the market because they were leased, not sold, and the car company succeeded in getting the state to water down the clean air laws.
And that story features prominently in your book, if I recall correctly.
Chapter one, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And plug-in hybrids kind of goes from there. It sets the stage with that first chapter and then leads into, you know, why are plug-in hybrids coming so quickly? What's so good about them?
And so what is the official posture of Toyota? Last time I think we talked, I was under the impression that Toyota voids the warranty on a Prius if you convert it to the system that permits you to decide whether you use the battery exclusively or get an assist from the gasoline-powered engine that's alongside.
Well, that's everyone's best guess. I mean, there's only about 70 or so conversions in the world right now, although that's quickly increasing. And, you know, Toyota, like any car company, doesn't like you monkeying with the brains of their car. So if something failed in an area that you messed with, the warranty probably wouldn't apply. But no one's had an opportunity to test that. The more exciting thing is that car companies themselves are actually talking about plug-in hybrids. Since January, I think, which is about when we last spoke, not only Toyota, but Ford, Volvo, Volkswagen, GM, all of these have either unveiled a concept plug-in hybrid or said that they're going to do testing like this program by putting them into consumers' hands and seeing how they like them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a great leap forward because it appeared that in particular the Detroit-based auto manufacturers were sitting on their hands, and if you tie it together with the removal from the marketplace of the electric vehicles, you do kind of sense, gosh, they're really committed to gasoline-powered vehicles.
Well, and I think that's due to a number of pressures that are bringing the car companies to get on board with this. Groups like Plug-in America, a nonprofit group that I'm involved with, have coordinated the consumer demand. We're just the drivers who had electric vehicles and had them taken away, and we know the joys of driving on cleaner, cheaper domestic electricity. So consumer demand has increased. And at the same time, you've got neoconservatives in Washington, like former CIA Director Jim Woolsey, pushing on the car companies and the politicians, saying, look, we got to get off of foreign oil now to make our country secure. And then, of course, there's all of the concern about global warming that's incredibly increasing every day. And plug-in cars are the quickest and most sustainable way to reduce the greenhouse gases that come out of cars in America. And those account for a third of all the greenhouse gases that we produce.
Now, Sherry, you just mentioned a group called Plug-in America. I suspect there's a website.
There is. It's pluginamerica.org.
Okay.
And people can find my book and the movie there. I'm now podcasting a little bit, and that's there.
Holy cow.
To keep people abreast of all the things that are happening, because it's happening fast and furious.
Now, when did the movie come out? I think I missed something.
The movie came out about a little over a year ago, in the summer of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular on Netflix and elsewhere. So you can...
And is that about Who Killed the Electric Car?
It's called Who Killed the Electric Car.
Okay.
It tells the story of the electric cars that came and went, although Plug-in America, through protests and demonstrations, did manage to save about 1,000 of them from the crushers.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, I spoiled the movie for you. They get crushed.
Is there one in an auto museum near me?
If there is, they've taken the engine out. But there are some on the road. In fact, this weekend in San Francisco, and in cities across the country, there are going to be Step It Up campaigns called Step It Up to deal with climate change and global warming. So we'll be at Civic Center and Dolores Park in San Francisco with electric vehicles and bicycles, and everyone's saying, look, the climate experts say we have 10 years to deal with global warming, so let's get moving. Let's get plug-in cars on the road.
Okay, so Saturday at the Civic Center and Dolores Park, is there a parade from one point to the other exactly?
Yes, if you meet at noon at Dolores Park, we'll decorate our bicycles and plug-in cars and biodiesel cars. And then we'll at 12:30, we'll caravan to Civic Center, and at United Nations Plaza, we'll have booths and information and cars, and politicians have said they'll show up and get an earful from us.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, there's an election next week, so they just might.
Yeah, well, that's why we timed it. Now, there is a little bit of bad news for anyone who saw this article about the 100 plug-in hybrids that UC Davis is going to be putting out in the hands of people who have...
What, is there fine print, like you have to be a neocon to qualify?
Well, the fine print is they're not going to take volunteers. They're going to go out and ask customers. So you have to wait for their call and hope that you're one of the lucky few.
But I'm on the no-call list.
Well, then I guess you're sort of out of luck.
Well, AAA knows how to reach me when I don't pay my bill.
I know, and God forbid they'd want to put them in the hands of volunteers, and then they might actually be enthusiastic about them. Let's just pull any schmo in and see if we can get them to be semi-enthusiastic so the car companies don't have to do this. I mean, I'm a cynic. What can I say?
Well, and I can imagine the phone call. Hi, this is Bob from AAA. Can I interest you in a plug-in hybrid?
Yeah, and, you know, I have to say this is encouraging coming through AAA because, you know, I left AAA a few years ago because they spend most of their lobbying money in Washington for things that don't help global warming and that are all about cars and maintaining highways. So I switched to a Better World Club, which has all the same services as AAA. In fact, they even offer roadside assistance for bicycles.
Really?
Yeah, and it's sort of the green version of AAA. So if anyone out there wants to have roadside assistance but do it in a green way, it's called a Better World Club, and they're on the web too.
That's very helpful. I'm writing this down, a Better World Club, and this will appear with the archive of this program on peterbcollins.com. Sherry, what else is new in the world of plug-in hybrids and automobiles either requiring less gasoline or none at all?
Well, one of the key things that's happening right now is that the California Air Resources Board, CARB, which first gave us the mandate to produce electric vehicles in the 1990s and then it was watered down in 2003, they're revising that this year. They're going to vote on it again in February. So they have a chance to get it right and put some teeth back into it. Unfortunately, the board members are sort of half-split between this camp that thinks we should still pump money into doing hydrogen fuel cell research programs and another camp that says, look, let's get some cars on the road. Let's go with electric cars, plug-in hybrids and electric vehicles. So Plug-in America and others are lobbying pretty furiously to get them to do the right thing and not just pour it all down a research program in hydrogen.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sherry, would you be in favor of consumer incentives to try to move people from their gas-powered vehicles to hybrids and plug-in hybrids? Or do you think that there's enough momentum to, A, support the industry, and, B, there are enough conscious people who recognize the personal benefit and the community benefit to getting out of the SUV and into a hybrid?
I think there's a healthy niche of people who would just glom onto these cars at the get-go without incentives. But with any new technology and something that's a game-changer like this, it really helps to have incentives. And the federal government is already looking at that in some of the energy bills that they're debating. The state is offering incentives. They gave a grant to a group in San Diego that will be constructing the rules around which they will give thousands of dollars in incentives for people who eventually get plug-in hybrids. You know, most people, the idea of driving on electricity is foreign to them. It seems complicated. It seems a little scary. Where am I going to plug in? It's really not. But in order for people to even seriously consider this idea, incentives really help. And new technology is always more expensive anyway, so the incentives bring it back down to scale with other cars.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I'm thinking that if you give people a bigger trade-in allowance for a gas guzzler, that might actually be a better incentive than some sort of, you know, tax credit or rebate or other price-based incentive on buying the new vehicle.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I sort of see it as a push-pull. The pull is the incentives, and there will be those. And the push is the regulators. I mean, besides the Air Resources Board's tinkering with the zero-emission vehicle mandate this year that I described, they're also formulating new regulations that have to do with all the legislation passed to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. So the writing's on the wall. I mean, they're going to have to start producing cleaner cars, and then it becomes a horse race. I mean, all those car companies I mentioned that are talking about plug-in hybrids, whoever comes out with it first, they've got the advantage, and the other car companies have to come out with something better or something soon. There's even car companies talking about selling new all-electric cars, Subaru and Mitsubishi in 2009. We're going to be seeing a lot in the next couple of years, and consumers should wait and tell the car companies they're not going to buy another new car till it has a plug on it. No plug, no deal, to make sure we get these cars on the market.
Mm-hmm. And how can we make sure the car companies know that? Because I do understand the power of that consumer choice. At the same time, Detroit has an incredible ability to ignore consumer demand and, for example, just build more pickup trucks.
Well, I'm so glad you asked. On pluginamerica.org, we have the phone numbers and the contact information for all the car companies that are even considering working on these cars, and you can call them. And the person on the other end of the line isn't going to know what you're talking about, and you're going to be put on hold, but these are the numbers where they're required to record the reason for your call. And if you tell them, no plug, no deal, it will have an effect. Our spies inside the car companies tell us that this is making a difference. So let them know.
Well, that's great. Again, the website is pluginamerica.org. Sherry Bosher, great to talk with you again. You're always a great source of information about this new wave of technology and vehicles that can improve our personal situations and help us reduce our carbon footprints, too. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter.
Great to talk with you again. That's Sherry Boschert, B-O-S-C-H-E-R-T. And again, the website, pluginamerica.org. We're going to take a quick break and return with Mike Farrell. You remember him from MASH. He's been an activist against the death penalty for many years. And the courts have given us a new window, a de facto moratorium on capital punishment in this country. We'll talk about that next with Mike Farrell here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
A road hazard to report. This is northbound 101 on South Sanborn Road. That's the off-ramp there. Look out for some chunks of wood. They're apparently on the roadway. We don't have specific lane information, but keep your eyes peeled for that. And we do have some slow traffic northbound and southbound Highway 1. It's slow to Ocean Street in Santa Cruz and 41st Street Avenue in Capitola. Southbound 1 then continues a little sluggish from there into Monterey. Northbound 1 is slow out of Aptos back into Santa Cruz. So expect delays. And southbound 1 is slow between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound Highway 25 is a little sluggish out of Gilroy and into Hollister. That used car you're buying smell a little fishy? It may have been damaged in a flood. These cars are rotting from the inside out and they're just not safe. Ask your car dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Ashley Lane.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'd love to be your inflatable companion so you could drive in the diamond lane when you're solo in your car, but we haven't worked that out yet. Coming up next hour, it's the Free Speech Zone. We'll be taking your calls and comments about the Northern California earthquake that occurred last night. and about the Democratic debate that occurred in Philadelphia. But first, Mike Farrell joins us. He, of course, is the star of MASH and Providence on television. He's been in many films over the years, but he's also been an activist on death penalty issues. Last year, he published a book called Just Call Me Mike. It was actually this year, 2007, but earlier in the year, subtitled A Journey to Actor and Activist. Mike Farrell, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Peter. Nice to be with you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I've said this once before, but you and I often have connected around the time that an impending execution was scheduled at San Quentin, just a few miles from me here.
Yes.
And it's very pleasant to talk to you at a time when there isn't a specific life on the line. And there's actually some interesting news of what I would call an unintended moratorium on the death penalty across the United States. It started here in California, and also there were some issues in Florida where objections to the lethal injection method of killing people by the state has been determined to be, in many cases, cruel and unusual. And the death penalty machinery has ground to a halt here in California. And now the United States Supreme Court has blocked another execution, most recently in Mississippi. How do you see this playing out? And are you encouraged, at minimum, at this pause in state-sponsored killing?
Well, of course. You know, in effect, we have an almost complete national moratorium. I say almost complete because little stops Texas from their march toward, barbarity. But the Supreme Court took the case, I think, of a Kentucky case and decided to make a determination as to whether or not there were issues having to do with the lethal injection that resulted in unacceptable levels of pain for the person who's being executed.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision essentially has provided the reason for stopping a number of executions. And in one case, as you suggest, in Mississippi, the Mississippi High Court determined they weren't going to stop, and then the Supreme Court said, oh, yes, you are. So that is, I think, a heartening development just from the perspective of, if nothing else, if, as you say, of stopping executions in large part across the country for the next few months. So the Supreme Court's decision probably will be handed down sometime in the spring of next year, which mm-hmm. means we'll be a shut of state killing pretty much across the country for that period of time. I wish I could say I was particularly hopeful that the Supreme Court will do something really wonderful, given the makeup of the court and some of the statements that have been made by some of its now predominant members. I'm not so sure that we can hope for the best from this action. But what it does, I think, overall, is call into question again and again and again the appropriateness of state killing, the methods by which people have chosen to do this, the pretense that they could, that it can be done in a humanitarian or humane way.
Well, and what's interesting to me, Mike, is that, you know, when you look at the methods that were in play, hanging,
yes.
The gas chamber and the electric chair, many people thought that the lethal injection was actually far and away more humane.
Yes.
If you know, this is kind of bizarre and macabre to describe these methods of killing people as, you know, more humane or less. But that said, it initially appeared that lethal injection was slightly less barbaric than the other methods that I just cited. And yet this is what has run afoul of the courts.
Yeah, and two things I think, Peter, need to be pointed out about that. The person who came up with the idea or first put the idea into law for the lethal injection process was a legislator in Oklahoma who opposed the death penalty but thought, at least if we're going to do it, let's do it in a humane way. And he has written extensively now about how much he regrets being the author of the original bill that put lethal injection into the legal framework, because he believes that it is absolutely wrong and that it is inhumane. The other issue, and the one I think that's really at issue in the court, is that the currently used procedure pretty much across the board is a three chemical process. They first anesthetize the person, then they put in this extraordinary drug that paralyzes. It's a paralytic. It paralyzes the body entirely. And then the third is this pancuronium bromide, I think, that actually stops the heart and kills them.
Mm-hmm.
The third drug all by itself is horrifically painful. And the concern has been that, in fact, it only looks humane because of the paralytic. The paralytic drug does not allow the people to respond to the pain they're having, and the fear or the concern that's been expressed and that is now being looked at by the Supreme Court, I guess, is whether or not these people are being effectively tortured to death and only not allowed, not able to express the horror they're feeling.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, let's turn to the California situation here for a moment, because it was a judge in San Jose, Fogel, I believe, who imposed the temporary moratorium.
Right.
And then secretly, the Schwarzenegger administration ordered a new death chamber built at San Quentin, and they pretended that it was going to come in under $300,000, which would not have required approval by the legislature. In fact, it cost more than that. And now there's an interesting challenge surfacing in Superior Court in Marin County, where San Quentin is located, which challenges the process that was used to develop and the state hopes to implement the use of this new death chamber at San Quentin. But they didn't follow the rules of the Office of, what is that? It's the OAL, Office. I can't think of the acronym.
I can't either, actually.
But it's the state agency that has to approve new regulations.
You know, it's appropriate on Halloween to be talking about this stuff because it is utterly ghoulish. And it, to forgive the pun, it unmasks the deceit of the Schwarzenegger administration and of the organization that is now being scolded for not having followed the rules. You know, to hide this from the legislature, to hide this creation of this death chamber from the legislature, and to pretend that they could do it for the amount of money that wouldn't require them to be public about it or report it, is one thing. And now for the new protocol that's been established to be taken to task by the judge, who said this is you've disobeyed the rules. You've not played the game fairly. Is to me an unmasking of the morbidity of this entire process.
Yeah.
I just find it to be hideous and shameful.
It was the Office of Administrative Law. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
The OAL, which is a murky state agency that has to approve new regulations, and the implementation of a new process in a new facility does appear to meet that requirement. So that could delay the restart of state-sponsored killing here for even longer. Mike, I want to thank you for joining us. The website for Death Penalty Focus is?
www.deathpenalty.org.
All right. Thank you for your work and your advocacy, Mike.
You bet, Peter. Nice to talk to you.
My pleasure. Again, Mike Farrell's latest book is an autobiography, Just Call Me Mike, and it's a real interesting book. I enjoyed reading it earlier this year. We're going to take a break and return to your phone calls. It's the Free Speech Zone next. Want to talk about the Democratic debate in Philadelphia? Also, if you felt the earthquake in Northern California last night, we'll talk about it. Coming up next, 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number here at the Peter B. Collins Show. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A jury in Baltimore has awarded nearly $11 million to a man whose son's military funeral was picketed by fundamentalists. The defendants included Reverend Fred Phelps, pastor of the Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas, and two of his daughters. A third daughter, Margie, says today's verdict is no defeat.
This humble little church, to have this opportunity to tell 300 million Americans that God is their enemy, and the job of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to tell you, if you disobey him, he will curse you.
The church believes that the Iraq War is God's punishment for America's tolerance of homosexuality. Members picket military funerals with signs such as, "Thank God for Dead Soldiers." It was such a demonstration at the funeral of Marine Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder that prompted a lawsuit by his father. As expected, the Federal Reserve has cut interest rates by 0.25%, trying to bolster the economy against the continuing crisis in housing. CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason says this cut might not be the last.
The housing slump has turned out to be deeper and longer than anybody thought at first, and there are many people who believe the risk of recession is still pretty strong. So the Fed has got to keep on watch here, and that's basically what they're saying. They've made two cuts now, a total of 0.75%, which is a pretty significant move in the last month or so.
Fed policymakers meet again in December. The stock market rallied on the news. The Dow closed 137 points higher at 13,930. But in the commodities market, unexpectedly low inventories of crude oil sent prices through the roof. Oil settled at a record $94.53 a barrel. A decision that would require some U.S. diplomats to go to Iraq prompts a revolt at the State Department.
We are the Foreign Service.
A town hall meeting, several hundred State Department employees obviously angry at a manager who tried to explain the new policy that will force some to serve in Iraq under threat of dismissal. There aren't enough volunteers.
Questions and concerns.
One veteran diplomat spoke up that it's a potential death sentence. A senior official replied that Foreign Service officers take a pledge to do whatever's necessary to support the U.S. government's mission anywhere. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
All of Shuttle Discovery's projects at the International Space Station are on hold while NASA tries to fix the solar power wing that broke yesterday. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood says there's a tentative plan.
What it looks like they're going to do is use the shuttle's heat shield inspection boom. This is a 25-foot long boom in the shuttle's cargo bay. They're going to pick that up at the midpoint with the station's robot arm, put astronaut Scott Peresinski on the end, and then they might have the reach they need to get him up to a position where he could attempt a repair of this solar array.
That's planned for Friday or Saturday. This is CBS News.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact. F-R-E-E, that spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. F-R-E-E, that spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/smallbusiness. Business takes Visa.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee today endorsed the Law of the Sea Treaty, an international agreement that was first proposed by President Richard Nixon in 1970. Until now, reports CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss, it's been sailing against the wind.
This treaty was signed more than 20 years ago. 155 nations are on it, but not the U.S., because the Senate has never ratified it. Today's committee action makes that more likely. The treaty sets up rules and a method to settle disputes over things like navigation and fishing rights. What has suddenly pushed this to the front burner is the melting of ice around the North Pole and competing claims of countries that want to drill for oil there. President Bush wants the treaty ratified, but some Senate Republicans still strongly oppose it, saying the U.S. would be giving up too much control to other nations. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Was the courthouse in Santa Fe, New Mexico, haunted? Surveillance video produced a blurry image that many people thought was a ghost, but a man who investigates the paranormal was called in. He says it was just a bug on the lens. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose DieHard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
Hi, I'm a Han F3 office chair. Why F3? Well, because I'm funky, fresh, and friendly. Actually, I have no idea. Probably some marketing thing. But come here, take a seat on my oh-so-stylish frame. Feel that? Yeah, that's my Alira stretch fabric back, conforming to your every move. You know, we could be doing this every day. You, me, maybe a spreadsheet or two? Think about it.
The F3 chair from Han. Designed with fit, form, and function in mind. Visit GetHan.com. GetHON.com. Han. Smart now, smarter later.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome right now. Relax, don't duet when you want to go. Don't be too uptight. Relax, don't duet when you want to come. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You know that? 888-573-8372. We've covered a lot of ground today. We talked to Willie Rodriguez, a survivor of the 9/11 attacks in New York, and a guy who doesn't believe the official story. We also talked to Professor Mickey Huff, who teaches a 9/11 course. Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi talked about response to the fires in Southern California and confirmed that President Bush's photo op visit stopped the aerial fire assault for 3 hours last Thursday. That's unforgivable. We also talked about plug-in hybrids. I've got an email to tell you about in a moment. And the de facto moratorium on the death penalty in this country. Do you like that? Or are you a person who supports capital punishment and feels that people are using legal technicalities to try to block it? My toll-free number is 888-573-8372. On the plug-in hybrids, an email writer whose address is Electric Druid writes, why are you promoting vehicles that use power delivered mostly by, and he goes to 18-point type and bold, coal-burning power plants? The pollution is created at the power plant. This may assuage white progressive guilt, but it does little or nothing for the planet. We need to stop driving, period. Well, Ed or Ed, I understand your point, but I think you're being a purist, and you're entitled to be a purist. But I would say that it's progress to move away from gasoline-burning vehicles. And yes, a lot of the electrical power is generated by coal, but not in California. In California, we have a few nukes that I'm not particularly proud of or thrilled with, but that's where some of our electricity comes from. But by and large, it's produced by burning natural gas. Now, it's still a fossil fuel. It still contributes to global warming. And I freely concede those points. But coal-burning power plants are not the norm here in California. And it's time to retire those coal-burning power plants, and not just for the juice we would use to power hybrid electric cars. And Ed, if you're out there, give me a call. I'd love to discuss this with you and hear you verbalize your point of view. Also, before we go to the phones, I just want to introduce the subject of last night's Democratic debate, sans Mike Gravel. The senator was not invited, and I still think that net-net that is a loss. I can't say that his absence gave us more commentary from the other candidates other than Hillary. And I also disagree with this description, this characterization, in the headline in today's San Francisco Chronicle. It reads, Obama, Edwards, sharply criticized Clinton in debate. Well, I think John Edwards was fairly sharp in his criticism. Not too personal, but he talked about how much money she's taken from all the special interest groups that she would have to contend with, particularly if there is significant health care reform. And Barack Obama had floated these trial balloons in advance of this gathering in Philadelphia, saying that he was getting ready to really take the gloves off with Senator Clinton. Now, he did define some differences, and I credit people like Chris Dodd and Dennis Kucinich and also Joe Biden for correcting the record, and this is something we discussed in detail on this program yesterday, that the biggest threat to American security and to the Middle East comes not from Iran, not from Iraq, not from Afghanistan, but from Pakistan. They've already got a nuclear weapon and a very unstable political situation, and that is where the biggest threat resides, in my view and in the view of some of the people who debated last night. I also thought it was very interesting to see Hillary Clinton enjoy her front-runner status. And I give her credit. She has very carefully rehearsed sound bites that she delivers with conviction. And when you take them apart, there's not a lot of meaning, not a lot of depth, not a lot of political calories there. But to a you know, an average observer who doesn't pay close attention to politics, who doesn't really focus on the fact that she voted for Bush to go to war in the fall of 2002, she sounds like she's against the war. She sounds like she wants to bring the troops home sooner or later. And it works, I think, for the most part. One of the interesting things was that she dangled job opportunities before the men who were opposing her on that stage last night. She said that she agrees with Joe and Chris, and they might make good players in her administration. I don't recall the exact language, but that was the kind of thing that she said. Also, the one point of conflict in the evening came toward the very end, just as I was watching on a delay on TiVo. But about the time that Hillary screwed up, the earth started to shake at my house as we had a 5.6 earthquake centered near San Jose along the Calaveras Fault here in Northern California. And what occurred there was the question was asked about driver's licenses in New York State, which Hillary is the senator of, a senator of, that Governor Eliot Spitzer wanted to give to undocumented citizens, and Hillary answered the question and left the impression that she is both for the Spitzer position and against it. And she was called on it by the debate moderators and by several of her opponents, and she really couldn't wiggle out of it. So it was one of those cases where she was trying to kind of talk both sides of the story, and it was very clear and exposed. And I think that that is interesting, but not really actionable. And my bottom line from the debate is one of disappointment, because I think Barack Obama has shown that he really can't get out of his good guy, you know, let's not do mean politics persona, and really show in a tough way his differences with Hillary Clinton. I also thought his makeup was bad last night, but that's another story. So I think that Obama is not going to go the distance. And it disappoints me to say so, because he's the second place guy, and I would prefer him or John Edwards to Hillary Clinton any day of the week. So let me know your thoughts about that. How did Obama do? Did he raise expectations and then fail to meet them? How do you think Hillary did? And were any minds changed? Did anybody move from one candidate to another in response to the comments from the candidates out of Philadelphia last night? A couple of lines open for you, so chime in. Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Lewis in Sacramento, listening to 1240 Talk City. You get the first blast here in the Free Speed Zone today.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
Well, let me make two comments. I really thought Edwards is the guy that we should go for, because as a lawyer, he can make a good argument all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the guy who is more realistic in what the changes we need to do.
Well, I think that he demonstrated this again last night. I agree with you. He's very good on his feet. I think he's good on the issues. He was the first one to raise the problems of New Orleans, the gap between the rich and poor, what he calls the two Americas. And I agree. I think he's very effective. I still have some issues about his posture toward Iran, but in his challenges to Hillary's support of the Kyle Lieberman Amendment, I think that he has refined his position in a way that I can live with, Lewis.
Yeah, I think the guy, as a good lawyer, he gets a good argument, you know, and I think he's more down to earth in a lot of issues, more than Republicans, even if he's from the South. But I like it. I like it. I think he would be a good candidate as president. I like Hillary, but she wants both sides, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do it. My main issue that I really, what I call is about immigration.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired to hear the all those illegal people should be paying because they broke the law. My issue, and I tell a lot of my people, some from Mexico, I say, why should you guys have to pay if you broke the law? And what about the people who hired you? They should be paid too. If you guys are going to pay $5,000, $10,000 because you come and you broke the law, I think the people who employ you, it should be part of the package too. I don't know. Do you think I'm to extreme on this?
No, Lewis. First of all, I think that the idea of fining people who are determined to be illegally in this country is kind of sick. It's a twisted approach from the far right, and it's a compromise position for legislators who don't support the hard line of evicting or deporting every undocumented person in this country. So it's one of those things that's the result of a compromise. It doesn't make anybody happy, and it's really pointless. You know, why would you saddle somebody who is probably working at the minimum wage or even below with a fine that represents, more than a year's savings if they're able to work every day? And I personally just think that it's one of these insulting efforts that is intended to assuage the far right and the people who are really rabid about the immigration issues, mainly because, they have hate in their minds. That's the way I'll put it.
I know, and that's what I tell, you know. At one point I was illegal in the United States, I have to admit, because my visa status, it was past due. But, you know, I kind of understand what they came from and the things. I mean, I just see so much hate through immigrants lately, and there's more issues that really have to be fixed than just concentrating on something that really makes a big problem to the United States. In fact, I think all the illegal people comes to this country contribute in many ways, and I don't understand why people follow this kind of hate, politics.
Well, I'll just give you a bottom line, Louis. Do you say Lewis or Luis?
Luis.
I saw some statistics. These are dated now, but in the 1990s, a bare majority of illegal immigrants in this country were comprised of Asians and white Europeans who overstayed tourist visas. Yet,
yes,
the entire immigration problem is depicted as brown people coming over our southern borders. And it's true that this occurs, but it is not, to me, the only source of the problem. And yet most of the so-called solutions, like building a fence, deporting people, are aimed, at least in general, at Mexicans, Latinos, Hispanics, and not at those Europeans and Asians that I cited. And until we balance that and deal with it, I will believe that those who call for immigration reform are either racist or they support racist notions. Thank you for your call, Luis. Appreciate having you listen to the Peter B. Collins Show. More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Pacific Grove's Joe Romby has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Romby's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Romby's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Romby's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Romby's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Romby's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Romby's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria. Click on joeromby.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is, so it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
We do have a traffic collision coming in. This is northbound 1 just after 41st Street. We don't have additional details for that one, but the CHP is responding to the scene. Highway 9, this is at 236, a traffic. Looks like a road hazard there. Looks like we have someone jumping in and out of the lanes of traffic, so keep your eyes peeled for that one. A flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb. Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Want to avoid them? Ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We call it the free speech zone because we like that First Amendment thing, and we'd like it to stay in full effect. Let's see who's up here next. It looks like David in Monterey. David, you're on the air on the PBC show. Welcome.
Hey, PBC, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'll tell you, I can't complain. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon.
Well, great.
I want to take you on something, Peter, and this is with the greatest of respect I say this.
No problem.
Regarding Hillary Clinton, now, I'm not saying that she is my candidate here, and I will echo what you said. I was certainly disappointed. I was hoping Barack was going to come off a little smoother than he did. I thought I was hoping he'd have a little more teeth. Hillary is very, very good, I must say. She really has her her style down very well. But what I wanted to talk with you about is on the issue of immigration. She was asked, do you favor driver's license for immigrants? She said yes. And Senator Dodd disagreed with her. And then she said, well, wait a minute, you know, it's a complicated issue. And if I understand it correctly, what Governor Spitzer is proposing in New York is kind of a tripartite license, three different licenses for three different groups.
Right.
And then she came back and said she supported that, if I understood it, she supported that, which in my view is probably the way to go. You cannot deny the fact that we have a lot of undocumented or illegal immigrants here, and I think you have to recognize that fact in some fashion or the other.
I do, and I also recognize that they drive. And if they're going to drive, I want them to have a license. I want them to at least get through the DMV test and, you know what a stop sign means, and I want them to be insured. And those are the issues that I believe are important in that debate. And you recounted it pretty accurately. I just think that the way Hillary explained herself, it appeared that she was taking two positions within three or four breaths.
I agree. I agree. And I haven't gone back and TiVo to listen to it again. But it is a more difficult situation, more complex that Mr. Spitzer is proposing. But I agree with you. I've unfortunately encountered in a traffic way somebody who was undocumented, unlicensed, and it was a difficult situation, and I would rather have them licensed and insured like you would. And so we've got to find a way to work this out. But how did you feel about Barack? I heard you started to say a little bit about it, but yeah, I was hoping he was going to come on a lot stronger. She would do it.
Me too. I think that, you know, John Edwards upstaged him in terms of being confrontational with Hillary. And then Bill Richardson kind of jumped in as if he's going to be the vice president, saying, oh, let's stop beating up on Hillary here.
Hillary, don't beat up poor
right.
Hillary.
Let me jump to another call. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate that. Up next, it's Randy in Sacramento. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for taking my call this afternoon.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but
sorry,
you're welcome anyway.
I stopped myself when I went into that conversation, but I did want to, I do appreciate what you do on the air, and it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Great.
I wanted to talk to you today about the Fed's move on that interest rate today, where we dropped another quarter basis point, and the ripple down effect this is going to have. I mean, I think there's a lot of people are waving the big flag today. This is going to stimulate your housing economy. This is going to stimulate, you know, try to keep us from a recession. And immediately today, oil bent back up $4 a barrel.
Yep.
So my question to you is, what is the benefit of depreciating the value of the dollar against the nationwide, the worldwide value of the dollar at this time in world economy, when everybody else is strengthening their dollars, when everybody else is pumping up their interest rates to support their dollars? We are going the opposite direction, to the point that today the Canadian exchange rate is the highest it's ever been in 46 years.
Well, Randy, I will first tell you that I hit the wall in Econ 101, so I don't pretend to be an expert. But as a consumer and somebody who watches the news and follows things, I think that we have allowed the dollar to slide because it makes our balance of trade look better. It makes American products seem cheaper to people who are based in other currencies, including the euro and the yen. And it's one way of letting the air out of the U.S. economy where it's not so noticeable to domestics. When I traveled to Europe this summer, I was really shocked how weak the dollar is. And it's gotten worse since then. Randy, I got to run to a break, but thanks for raising a great issue today. 888-5-PETER-B. Join us in the Free Speech Zone and visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We are taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Talk about the Democrats in the debate last night or anything else that's on your mind. And this portion of the PBC show is dedicated to a longtime listener, a regular caller, and a fine fellow, Dennis in King City. I understand he had a medical setback, but is doing well. Dennis, I hope a quick recuperation for you. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment, but we have a comedy alert for you for Santa Cruz residents and those within driving distance of Surf City. Richard Stockton is the guy who has put together the monthly event called the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. Richard, how are you today?
Oh, I'm sensational, Peter B. How you doing?
Well, not bad at all. I understand you have big plans for this Friday night.
Yeah, we've got the second one. We're going to do the second Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. We're all excited. Mark Pitta is going to be our headline comedian, but we have a wide variety of really great entertainers going to be talking about the stories, people, the music of Santa Cruz.
Now, we happen to have Mark Pitta on another line, but before we get to him, you tell me that the theme of the show, the real star of the show, is the city of Santa Cruz itself.
It is. It is. It is. It is the real star.
Now, let's put Mark Pitta on the spot. He used to do that thing on Mornings on 2 where he had to go to a Starbucks every day and talk to people and try to make it interesting and funny. Hey, Mark.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Good to have you on the show today.
You know, it's funny, yeah, you're tying that in. I'll tie in Santa Cruz with your question. I interviewed Pete Best on the boardwalk.
Really? Pete Best, the fifth Beatle?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was touting a personal appearance he was doing, and then... Of course, I could talk about the book about him, and there was this book with the Beatles, and it was just great in meeting Pete Best. But then on the other hand, I also interviewed Tiffany the same day. So there you have it.
That was a rough assignment. You had to get up at the crack of dawn, and you eventually tried to bail out and appeared. They sent armed guards to make you continue to work.
It's a strategy, Peter B. If you don't work for a contract and you're popular on TV, quit. And guess what? They give you a contract. And, of course, they say, oh, Mark Pitt took an instant vacation. It was all strategy, and it worked for a while.
Yeah, it did. Now, I want you to weigh in on the controversy. You know, I think it's Laguna Beach that claims to be the real surf city. And there was a controversy that developed, I guess, in Sacramento, and the legislators were trying to figure out. And to his credit, John Laird, the assemblyman from Santa Cruz, and also, I think, State Senator Joe Simidian, whose district sort of grazes over toward Santa Cruz, they stood up and said, Niet, Santa Cruz is the official surf city. Do you have a considered position on that, Mark?
Well, actually, now you just said, it's funny because one of the best surfers is named Laird.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, gosh. You haven't known about that guy? Yeah, he's one of the Mavericks.
Okay. I actually don't know that much about surfing. I never mastered it. I kept falling off the board.
I'm just thinking there's a connection there, Laird, with the supervisor Laird. I think there's some payoffs going on. I think there's hush money. I would say Santa Cruz. I always listen to the Beach Boys when I drove to Santa Cruz. I always associated their music with Santa Cruz. So I'm going to go with Santa Cruz.
All right. And, Richard, do you have any position on this controversy?
Yeah. I think people think it's Santa Cruz because you said Laguna Beach. I thought it was Huntington Beach that sued.
Well, now I'm thinking it might have been Marina Del Rey.
Yeah. See what I mean? We don't know.
Oh, this is going to get down to that. I think it was Chabot Lake.
Yeah.
Maybe Don Pedro.
Yeah.
Right.
Which,
so,
you know.
People think it's Santa Cruz. It's Santa Cruz. We all know it.
Yeah.
So.
All right, now, Richard, give us the rundown. Friday night at the Kuumbwa Jazz Center in Santa Cruz. Showtime is?
8 o'clock.
Yeah. And I understand you have the outpatient players?
The outpatient players, Simone Cox, Sven Davis. We've got a Foley artist. He makes sound effects, so we're doing sketches with mm-hmm. sound effects. And blues, Louisiana Santa Cruz blues great Al Frisbee is going to be there. Another tonight show comedian, Mark Pitt isn't the only one with that distinction on the bill. Karen Babbitt will be on.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
Well,
yeah,
I can't wait to see Karen Babbitt. I toured with her back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's still around.
She's funny, funny, funny girl.
Now, Richard, I'm looking at this lineup. Dr. Rupert Opie from the Rupert Opie Institute for the Advancement of Dr. Rupert Opie?
Yeah, he'll be telling you why you should basically sign over the responsibility and property in your life to him.
I see.
Yeah.
Is it like a reverse mortgage, or how does it work?
Pretty much it's for people who need their guru of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several in Santa Cruz like that. And yeah. and he will basically just take, he wants everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
All right. And, Mark Pitta, are you going to be able to do for the Planet Cruz Comedy Hour and the Kuumwa Jazz Center what you've done for the Throckmorton venue in Mill Valley? I mean, you've really made that into a center of comedy and performance.
Yeah, it's kind of, a throwback to the days when I started and that comics had a place to play. And then the audience is there just to see comedy. Mark Pitta and Friends, I call it. Like, last night we had our Halloween show. We did a production number. I dressed as Norman Bates' mother. I sang Psycho Killer, Kiss Kisse.
Oh, nice.
And Robin Williams showed up to work out. And, of course, when you hand him a costume, he has to do something on it. So
yeah.
He was my little puppet last night. But I think it helps when guys like Robin stop by and Dana Carvey, who lives nearby.
Yeah.
And it's a residual effect, though. Then you have this thing, we got the Santa Cruz thing going. And pretty soon the Bay Area is going to be the place to be again for comedy. So I thank Richard for doing his thing there.
All right. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. Friday night at the Kuumwa Jazz Center in Santa Cruz starts at 8 p.m. And last time we checked, tickets are on sale at Gateway's Books and Streetlight Records. Also over in Monterey at Angelina's and PG Liquors. Is that all still correct, Richard?
I don't think it's happening in Monterey, but Gateway's and Streetlight's in Santa Cruz.
All right. And I want people to come over from Monterey. I mean, it's only 30 miles, and you ought to drop in because there is nightlife in Santa Cruz. And so far, scientists have been unable to detect any kind of nightlife in Monterey. Richard, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you,
all
Peter.
Right.
See you, Mark.
Good to talk to you both, and hope you have a great show Friday night there in Santa Cruz. Next, we go to Elk Grove, and it looks like Imhotep. Is that the right name?
Wow, I love it when someone says my name correctly.
Well, it's phonetic. I took a stab at it, sir. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I like your show. I've been listening to you for...
Your call just dropped there. Imhotep, I got your name right, and somehow the gremlins disconnected you, so call me back. I want to hear where you were going with that. Sounded interesting. 888-5-PETER-B, there's room for your call, too, so join us. Next, Enrico joins us from Los Angeles. Hello, Enrico.
Actually, it's Henry, but...
Okay, I guess I just didn't scroll down far enough.
Hi, Peter. I want to say it was Huntington Beach, but you guys have a SoCal up there, so it doesn't matter that you do have a surf city up there.
All right.
What I wanted to talk about was progressives seeming to trying to pull away from Hillary, if indeed she is the nominee for the Democratic Party. And I want to point to the 2001 election and what happened there. And I'm not talking about Ralph Nader, but I'm talking about the Supreme Court stepping in.
Yeah.
And putting one of those clowns, and I hate to disparage clowns that way, but from the Republican Party in there would mean they'll get an opportunity to put even more of their right-leaning judges into the Supreme Court. And I think it's already proven to be a tragedy, and I think it'll be even worse if we get more right-wing Supreme Court judges on the court.
Well, I'm sure with you on that, Henry, and it's funny because we were talking about this off the air the other day about Ralph Nader's impact on the 2000 election, and I'm not like so many others who feel that it was all his fault that Gore lost in the Supreme Court decision. I think there were many factors that went into it, and bottom line, I support Ralph Nader or anybody else's right to run for president.
Exactly.
You know, it's a free country, or last time I checked, it was supposed to be. And I think that anybody who wants to run should be permitted to do so. The other part of it is that I am still offended by one of the remarks that Nader repeatedly made in both 2000 and 2004, which is something to the effect that there isn't a dime's worth of difference between Democrats and Republicans.
That's true.
And, Henry, it is the Supreme Court where there's at least $10 worth of difference, if not a whole lot more. And we are stuck with Alito and Roberts for another 30 years, perhaps. And this is going to turn this country, prevent progressive issues from prevailing before the Supreme Court, and particularly when it comes to the things I care most about, which is spying on America. Americans, torturing detainees, subjecting even American citizens to the unlawful enemy combatant status that could lock you away for almost ever without your rights. Those are the things that I see as a huge difference. And any Democrat, whether it's Gore or Kerry or the people who ran against them in 2000 and 2004 for the Democratic nomination, any one of those people would have made better Supreme Court nominations than these Neanderthals that Bush has put on the court.
Exactly. That is so true. And also, you said about Pakistan being the most dangerous. I think they're number two. George Bush and Cheney are the most dangerous to this country.
You got me there, Henry. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day, Peter.
You bet. And surviving a disconnection, Imhotep is back from Elk Grove. I'm sorry we lost you there.
Oh, glad to be back. Yeah, I just thought that Barack Obama did a good job, and just the way Hillary looked at him with such hatred while he was talking, it showed to me that he was being effective. And the other candidates look like looks like they're trying to get in her cabinet. You know, mm-hmm. Biden is trying to be Secretary of State, and Dodd is trying to get in there, and also the other gentleman from Mexico.
Richardson. Uh-huh.
I thought that he did good, and I think that it's a long campaign. His ancestry is Kenyan, and he can run the distance, you know, because this whole election is a marathon.
Yeah, but this isn't Beta Breakers, which Kenyans routinely win. I understand your metaphor. But I really think, you know, we're looking at a situation here where we have about 2 months left before the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primaries. And once those balls get rolling, we then move to February 5th, where California, Florida, New York, Michigan, a whole gaggle of states have the primaries. And there's very little time between those first two, Iowa and New Hampshire, which tend to set the table, and the February 5th, plus the big, you know, southern states are on February 12th. And it takes boatloads of money, and it takes political momentum to close the gap between Obama and Clinton. And
I don't really think that there's a big gap. I don't believe the polls. I think that they're neck and neck in early primary states, and I think that Obama has a really good chance of either beating Hillary or coming so close that it won't matter. You mm-hmm. know that he'll start picking up momentum.
Well, and Imhotep, to his credit, he has raised a lot of money, and he will be able to.
And he's raised it, you know, with grassroots support, not necessarily. You know, big special interests, as they were mentioning in the debate. So all that grassroots support donating funding for his campaign, I think it says a lot. And I just looked at the debate, and I'm not really to anoint Hillary. I think that she has a lot of issues, a lot of problems. It's too canned. It's too contrived.
Well, and Chris Dodd gets credit for raising, in gentle terms, the questions of her electability. 50% of Americans say they will never vote for Hillary Clinton. And even if she squeaks by with the help of a Supreme Court, for example, or some gamey voting machines, we've got a situation, as many have pointed out, where she will be the target of many attacks, and the virulent partisanship that we have seen with Republican rule will probably continue, even if it's a Democrat in the White House named Clinton and Democrats running both houses on Capitol Hill. Thanks for a great call, Imhotep. I appreciate your point of view. More calls in a moment. You can grab a line toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Still dealing with a traffic collision northbound 1 just after 41st Street. This was a two-car crash. It's being moved off the roadway. We do have some slow traffic southbound 101 leaving Silicon Valley. It's heavy from Highway 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive, and it continues a little sluggish through Gilroy, Prunedale, and into Salinas. That used car you're buying smell a little fishy? It may have been damaged in a flood. These cars are rotting from the inside out, and they're just not safe. Ask your car dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
You got the Peter B. Collins Show pouring out of your speakers. Are those tiny little earbuds you listen to your iPod on?
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy ways now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby. Wrap it up.
All right, we will in a couple of minutes.
I'll take it. Wrap it up.
And if we don't wrap it up, the big switch in Denver just cuts us off anyway. Jen in Sacramento, you're on the air in the Free Speech Zone. Welcome.
Hi. You know, you guys are really driving me crazy.
Good.
Because we know as racially divisive as this country is and how black people are treated all the time, why is it that you guys really believe that Obama has any chance in the world of becoming president? It's not even logical to have that mindset when you know every chance you take, black people are going to get the bad end of the deal. So I need somebody to explain that to me. I'm a 48-year-old black woman, and I see it every day. And so what is it? What's the problem?
Well, you're saying something very real here, Jen, and I respect it. And maybe we're too polite, or maybe we're too idealistic. I have spoken at times about Barack Obama's electability, and that there are some people who will respond to the polls and say, oh, yeah, I'll vote for Barack Obama. But particularly white citizens of this country might go into the voting booth and do something quite different. At the same time, I actually believe, Jen, having seen Barack Obama speak now on three different occasions, that he has the ability to disarm some of the moderate racists in this country. The hardliners, in fact, there was a kind of amusing story that broke yesterday that there is a dispute underway between different factions of the Ku Klux Klan, one blaming the other for using politically incorrect language.
Oh, my God, that's funny. That's really funny. But, yeah, I mean, he has the abilities. I think that in an ideal world, with our rose-colored glasses on, you know, he'd have a shot. But we have to be real. We have to understand that black people are still getting hung. We still lose our jobs. You know, we still get mistreated. We still get beat, raped, murdered, killed, you name it. And when the judge says you're guilty, he puts 20 extra years on our sentence as opposed to anybody else. You know, crack, if you're poor and black, you're going to do 20 years. If you're white and just using cocaine, you might get a slap on the hand, or you might say, meet me in the chamber, and we'll do coke together. Yeah. We need to really understand and realize that this world has not changed when it comes to black people.
All right. Now, Jen, give me your best advice here. Does this mean that we are suicidal if we support Barack Obama because you believe he'll run into the racist buzzsaw no matter what?
Of course he will. There's still very much white people that want white rule. What do you think they call it, the White House? No other house is called a color but the White House. Well, thank you.
Jen, keep calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're a hoot, and I love the freshness of your comments. And it's also very important to hear African-American voices, because there are too many white pundits out there and not enough people of color. And she just gave us a real hard, cold shot of realism that's going to cause me to think, and I appreciate that. Jake in Eureka, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, to be. How's it going?
Tell me just your reaction to Jen.
Well, I think that's definitely a very interesting point of view, and I do think there's a lot of truth to it. You know, I'm hopeful that things are changing these days as in terms of racism, but if you look at the Republican Party, wow, look at the presidential candidates. You couldn't find a more racist group of individuals.
But you know? I guess I am torn, and maybe this is the idealistic part. I'm a little schizophrenic. You know, I do have strong ideals, and I'm also a political pragmatist. But some of me wants to reject the idea that we should tell Obama that it's not time. I'm sorry, America's not ready for you. And at the same time, the stakes are so high. We cannot afford to have another Republican in the White House, and so we do have to put our best candidate forward. It's certainly not Hillary, and I guess I go to Obama partly because he's running second in most of the polls. He's running second in the amount of money raised, and he appears to have the best shot of closing that gap. But Jen has a very significant point.
Yes, she does, and unfortunately, like I talked about, you know, a few weeks ago on your show, Peter B., The anti-Hillary vote inside the Democratic Party is being split between Obama and Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, if any one of those candidates is going to make up the distance between themselves and Hillary, one or the other is going to have to drop out. I mean, and unfortunately, after last night's debate, you look at Edwards, who, as a lawyer, is trained at interrogation, and somebody needs to ask Hillary some tough questions because the media won't do it. But unfortunately, you know, Obama is very professorial, a very nice man. He would be great in a general election, but I don't know if he can make it through this Democratic primary. You know, possibly Obama might want to consider dropping out, endorsing Edwards, and maybe Edwards can pick Obama as a vice presidential candidate, and those two together could beat Hillary. But unfortunately, Al Gore is not going to get in this race, you know, unless there's maybe a brokered convention.
Yeah.
You have very little chance of that.
I agree.
So if we're going to stop Hillary, I think Edwards and Obama need to come to some sort of understanding and, you know, run as a team.
That's a really good point, and I think your calculus is correct, and I also think, and you know, in many ways, as a white guy and a liberal, I hate to accede to the point that Jen made, but
I do too.
It's a real...
Unfortunately, you know, you look at Fox News, they, you know, they preach racism 24/7, and a lot of people are buying into it in certain parts of the country.
Jake, I got 30 left. You said you wanted to talk about Willie.
Yeah, I really do appreciate you having Willem Rodriguez on today. He's a true hero, a real hero of 9/11, not like the fake exploitative Rudy Giuliani. Willem Rodriguez saved countless lives on 9/11. If people want to find out more about Rodriguez, they can watch the movies 9/11 Press for Truth, Loose Change. You can find that at loosechange911.com.
And also, let me jump in here. WTCFriends.org has the information about his appearance at the Fortuna River Lodge this coming Sunday. He is also in Oakland tomorrow, Thursday, at the Grand Lake Theater. Thank you, Jake. Thanks to everybody for listening and calling in today to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm feeling so good, we'll do it again tomorrow. Same time, same stations.
smiling until then.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Stocks took off this afternoon after the Fed's announcement of another rate cut. The Dow jumped 137 points to 13,930, and the NASDAQ closed 42 points higher at 2859. More from CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason.
With the ailing housing market threatening to infect the entire economy, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke administered another shot of preventive medicine today with a quarter-point rate cut.
So how can this help?
This has twofold effect. One, it lowers borrowing costs for both consumers and businesses. But it's also a shot in the arm. It gives people a little bit of confidence that the Fed is on the case.
And it's helping. Since the Fed began cutting interest rates last month, mortgage rates have been falling. The 30-year fixed has dropped from 6.4% to 6.1. The 5-year adjustable rate from 6.1 to 5.75%.
Oil prices shot up, but for a different reason, a surprising drop in crude oil inventories. A gain of more than $4 pushed oil to a new high, $94.53 a barrel. And CBS News correspondent Dan Revive says other commodities are up, too.
It's not only oil. Look at the price of gold. Wow, over $800 an ounce for the first time. This year, gold is up by 25%. There is a link with the interest rate cut. Lower interest means the U.S. dollar is not so attractive to foreign investors. The dollar keeps dropping. Just about everything we Americans buy from overseas will cost us more, including gold and oil. Dan Revive, CBS News.
The meaning of today's verdict in Baltimore?
America is doomed.
Margie Phelps of the Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas, which has been demonstrating around the country at military funerals. Her father, Reverend Fred Phelps, and two sisters were sued by the father of a Marine killed in Iraq whose funeral was disrupted last year. The jury found in his favor, ordering the defendants to pay $10.9 million in damages. But WJZ-TV reporter Susan Collins says they were defiant.
Those members of the Phelps family with Westboro Baptist went outside across the street from the courthouse and put on a protest right there. Now, people driving by were using rude hand gestures and honking. They had people screaming and shouting at them. They even had a Baltimore minister pull his car to a stop on the middle of a busy road where they're protesting and get out and try to argue with them about God's intent.
The church